I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, welcome to this week's Must Hear Music podcast. I was just talking to, well, here, let me say, I'm here with Erica Ramirez.
Hi.
As well as Jason Lipschutz.
Hey, man.
I just want to extend my regrets. 20 minutes before we started doing this, I realized we should have a Halloween-themed episode. We don't. Maybe someone can make some ghostly noises.
Well, what's funny,
during the
I should mention to our listeners that on Saturday night, I did have a Halloween-themed karaoke party.
That's true.
Yeah, you stay plugging
which
that
you
party.
Were both invited to, and neither of you showed up.
I did not have a Halloween costume. I don't know how to beat my last year's costume, which was Selena. So I don't know, and I have to say it in Spanish, yes. So I don't know how to beat that costume. So I just didn't even try.
Well, someone showed up with just a hat on, and that was his. he was like, "Yeah, I'm broke. I can't afford a costume."
Oh, that's cool.
So I wish I would have gone. I have an excuse I can't share on a podcast. So
this is basically
not suitable for work.
Yeah. This is the Must Hear Music podcast, and this Saturday was the Must Hurt Jason karaoke
Must Hurt Jason
session. Anyway.
Anyways, next one will be there. Hey, was there any birthday? You know.
Yeah, that's true. You were there on my birthday.
One out of two.
Let's do, we'll just keep that in mind for Thanksgiving and Christmas to have Thanksgiving.
Do people do Thanksgiving themed karaoke? I don't know.
I was talking more about the podcast.
Oh, the podcast.
Yeah,
sure.
Whatever about
Jason's songs we're thankful for. All right, we'll get at least one of the holiday themed podcasts. Don't worry. All right, well, let's.
I'm such a hater. Okay, keep going.
Let's jump in. Let's talk about the new Iggy Azalea song featuring The Moo. It's called Beg For It. And we're going to switch it up a little bit this week. Let's listen to it and then we'll chat about it. So here is Iggy featuring Moo, Beg For It.
Gigi, why did she just ever do a baby ride with me? Fly living in the intuit and my waist slim. Ass fat, you gotta have it. Get my bacon. Cake long, that's automatic.
I know you.
All right, that was Iggy Azalea and Moo doing Beg For It. That was a track they did on SNL over the weekend. Not terribly well received. There were technical difficulties and so on and so forth. But regardless, let's address the quality of the song, not the lackluster SNL performance. So Jason, this is one of your picks. What do you think about this?
Yeah, so I just wanted to kind of talk about this song. I'm not a big fan of the song, but I wanted to see what you guys thought of it. I mean, this is kind of the follow-up to Black Widow, which has been a huge hit. Before that was Fancy. This doesn't sound like it's going to be a huge hit to me, and although I really like the hook and I'm a big fan of Moo, we talked a couple weeks ago about One More, her song with Elephant, and I love that song.
Great song.
And yeah, it's great, and I really hope that someone named Moo with, like, it's for those listening, again, we always have to say it's M with the O with a slash through it.
Very ungoogleable.
So, very ungoogleable. But she's great. She's a Danish singer-songwriter, and she has some great music out. And I still think One More is her best song. But I'm really surprised and happy that Iggy kind of tapped her for this song, which is a single on the new The new classic.
Mm-hmm.
It should have been called Reclassified or something.
Somebody on Twitter made the joke that it should have been called Second Things Second. And I really like that.
That's pretty good.
Erica had no time for that joke. Anyway, I think the problem with the song is Iggy herself, and we just have kind of heard everything before that she says on this song. Like, it's the same kind of, you know, bragging and kind of boasting that she did on Fancy, but where Fancy had a lot, no matter what you think of Fancy, it had some lines that kind of stick with you, and like obviously the first line and like going on with like the rooftop bringing 88 back, like it just had lines that are memorable. This does not, I feel like there, I just don't think the similes really work that well. She's like, it's like, it's almost like some of the writing is just kind of lazy to me. Like it's, there was just a line that's like, wearing all gold, like I'm Trinidad James. Like, it's like, all right. Yeah. I could have come up with
you're
that.
You're 1 year late, Iggy.
Yeah. And like, it's just like, I don't know, like, in the convertible, where's the ceiling? Like, I'm just like, I don't know.
That is how
just,
a convertible works.
That I know. it's true. And yeah, I just, I don't know. I this song is kind of disheartening because for a song with a nice hook from someone I'm excited about, I think the verses are kind of lackluster. What do you guys think?
Joe and I were talking offline on how this feels kind of formulated. Like, it feels like they just wanted to rework Fancy and do it all over again, like throw a singer in the hook, and it kind of sounds the same as far as like the formula of it all, which is why I really don't really appreciate it. But then again, like, I didn't think that Black Widow was going to be as huge as it is, so maybe this being as catchy somewhat as Fancy, it might actually work to her advantage. But I personally think that they just kind of threw it all together in order to have another hit like Fancy, so that's why I can't really appreciate it.
Right. I mean, I think, the production is not half as memorable as Fancy, but I agree, as Erica mentioned, Moo singing this is very, very much reminds me of Charlie XCX on Fancy, because you've got the singer who's got this kind of sugary voice, but still a really spirited, spunky delivery, and she's kind of like drawing out every syllable. So I guess in the sense that people liked Fancy a lot, like maybe they'll like Fancy Lights, I guess. I mean, like I'm saying, it doesn't sound like Fancy, but it's
re-fancy.
Just the construct is very similar.
Fancy
so
again.
I legitimately have no idea if this will be a hit. Like, I didn't think Black Widow was going to have the staying power that it did. Obviously, people have really attached themselves to that. So who really knows?
Yeah.
I guess all we can say is none of us are terribly impressed with it.
I feel like this is the first time that – and I'm, again, like, not a huge Iggy Azalea fan, but I am a firm believer that she's, like – a superstar and she's going to be around for a while, but like this song kind of made me think like, man, she's got to at least on her singles has to focus on some more. Like, she has to clean up her writing a little bit, I think, and she's a new artist, so she's getting there, but like, I think that she has to come up with sharper lines for a single like this.
Yeah, I mean, this is the single from the expanded edition.
Yeah,
though. One thing worth noting, you know, this is, if this was the first single from a second album, I would be worried. But
that's true.
This is kind of
second
more of a thing, tossed
second.
Off thing.
Maybe second maybe thing, her sophomore second. Album will be called that.
That would be incredible.
That would be awesome.
I still don't care for this show.
All right,
Erica's still not digging it. All right, well, let's move on to a song that at least I like a whole hell of a lot, the Calvin Harris and Ellie Goulding song Outside. This is the second song they've done together. Obviously, I Need Your Love, the song they did, I guess, was that 2 years ago now? Maybe?
Yeah,
it was
2012.
Just, you know, a huge hit, remarkable song. Calvin Harris has another album coming up called Motion. It features a ton of heavy hitters. Ellie Goulding is on it, Gwen Stefani, Haim, Big Sean, Tinashe. This song, though, in particular, we've already heard a couple of them. The Gwen one dropped today.
Let's listen to it, man.
You're right.
Hey.
Let's just listen to this song.
Let's listen
to
this song.
All right. Outside, Calvin Harris featuring Ellie Goulding.
I've been watching you now every other day. I've been watching you. Oh.
That was was Calvin Harris featuring Ellie Goulding, Outside. I think this is just really a great Calvin Harris track, and I'm not an enormous Calvin Harris fan. I very much like his singles. When I sit down to listen to a whole album, I get bored fast. But this just, the violin hook on this is incredible. It's been in my head for days. And something about like the Ellie Goulding, Calvin Harris chemistry is just so perfect. Like she has a really deep, not deep tone, but like a nuanced voice that sounds great with electronic music, that a lot of times you get producers going with someone who has just a less interesting voice. And hearing her sing on something like this is just such a treat. So I'm just a huge fan of this song. I almost wish it came out in the summer. I feel like this could have been a summer hit.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming off of the song Summer, which was a top 10 hit for him. Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with what you said. I think they do work well together. And what's so interesting is that Ellie Goulding is coming from this like folk pop background, mm-hmm. and over the past 2 years has embraced this kind of electro stomp music that worked so well with I Need Your Love, and now with like Burn and all these hits that she has. She's actually, what I assume is she's been touring for years, and I'm assuming she's going to take a bit of a break before she comes back with a new single, but I'm glad that, you know, she pops up on this Calvin Harris track list. And I think the song is strong. I think it's a fun dance song.
Do you think that she's going to go that route for that second album?
Yeah, no, I mean, just based on like, I spoke to her at the beginning of the year in like March or April when she was touring, and she said that like, yeah, she needs like, she has been touring for so long, and this is kind of a tangent, but she's been touring for so long. She did headlining shows, and then she opened for Bruno Mars, and she did all these tours while Halcyon, her second album, and then Halcyon Days, the deluxe edition, were released, and they kept churning out singles. That she just she was like, by the end of this year, I'm just going to take some time off and write my next album. So I feel like this is like a cool like little bonus that I didn't think that we were going to hear any more music from her by the end of the year, but I'm glad we get this.
Yeah, I feel like this song, I feel like that's a route that she should go for the next album. I mean, like, this is an example as to why. Obviously, her previous singles also. But like you said, Joe, like, I feel like this is a good fit for her, clearly, with Calvin Harris. I'm not as excited as you are over there. You're excited about this one.
I'm bouncing to this song.
Joe is, like, bouncing
I'm
in his chair.
I'm half delirious listening to this song. But anyways, yeah, it's a great tune, though. But so let's move on and talk about an Erica pick. Let's listen to Kehlani's Till the Morning.
Just hide it all beneath me, yeah, yeah. Ain't no life without you in it. Black and white, no color in it. You look at me like you see me. Inhale me in, baby, just breathe me. Fucking me so goddamn deeply. Then we lock in arms until we sleeping. Whoa.
Was Kehlani Till the Morning. This is an Erica pick, so I'm going to toss it to her. I have to say, I don't know too much about her. I know she was on America's Got Talent and that she is a teenager, but listening to the song, I do think it's incredible. But why don't you touch on what you like about it first?
So obviously Joe doesn't listen to the Juice podcast, because Kehlani was on the Juice podcast last week.
I didn't listen to last week. Sorry.
Yeah, I know. It just went up on Friday. But Kehlani and BJ the Chicago Kid were on the Juice podcast last week. And Kehlani is 19 years old. She's from Oakland. And yeah, she was like on America's Got Talent, America's whatever it's called. What is it called?
It's America's Got Talent.
There you go. America's Got Talent. But she was on America's Got Talent. And I really like Kehlani because she comes in and she has like all these tats on her. And she's like super little and tiny, but then she has like this voice in her. And as you guys know, clearly I've said this before, like I'm a fan of big voices, which is why sometimes I don't like the flowy R&B music, but I feel like she does so good with that type of production, and her voice still kind of shines through. And Nick Cannon kind of found her through the show and is pretty much a mentor to her. She's not signed or anything like that, but she kind of has guidance from Nick Cannon. But I mean, this is just like a follow-up to her Cloud 19 mixtape, which is pretty much like this. It's like very like
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Like sugary, like you said before, like it's really like... they're all like love ballads, but they're all like super sweet. And I mean, it kind of goes with like how her feel is and her style is. And I feel like Jason has something to say.
Well, I didn't know. So she's a teenager?
Well, she's 19.
Okay.
But she's started singing since she was like 12 years old. Like she was in a band, which the band was on the show. I believe it was called Pop Life. And they kind of rotate some members. But she started when she was like 12 or 13, and she was doing that for like 4 years.
She's a vet.
Yes.
She's a vet. Well, I just say I'm surprised because some of these lyrics are kind of explicit.
Yes.
My mom would not let me sing about these things.
Do you consider explicit knowing that she's 19?
Yeah. I mean, I listening to the song, I was like, whoa. And then I just didn't know she was still.
From what she shared with us on the Juice podcast, it feels like she's gone through a lot in her like younger years. So I think that's probably why I wouldn't be shocked or wasn't shocked with the lyrics. But yes, your mom probably would not approve of this song.
No.
Although she did say that some people were saying how their moms listened to her music and not like their kids, because people expect her to like make turn up music, and instead she's making like these like sweet ballads. And the lyrics on this may be explicit, but her mixtape that she put out, like those 8 songs, they don't have lyrics like this. They're like, it's much sweeter.
Yeah,
more emo.
I have to say, the thing I really enjoyed about it is a lot of times, at least for me, someone who is a kind of a fair weather R&B music friend, I get turned off by people who, you know, I think a lot of people have great voices, and I think a lot of newcomers make the mistake of thinking that what they need to do when they come out is just to show off what a great voice they have. And she, the great thing about this is, yeah, you hear what an incredible voice she has, but the production doesn't suffer. It's not built around her voice. You actually get like a really interesting song. And the production is kind of this cool, like echoey, late night sweet thing. Like it is like adult in content, but it's not like saturated with that. It's not like drenched in sex. So to me, this is a really promising sound. And thanks for turning me on to this.
Joe would listen to this.
I would listen to more of.
Would your mom listen to this?
No, I would not suggest
my mom loves R&B music. She's like a big fan of like TLC
and Boyz II Men.
Yes, and her eyebrows would
definitely definitely
rise at this song. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm a little bit more lukewarm on this song. I'm sorry to disappoint.
You won't be on the Juice podcast this week.
I think it's promising. I say that a little cautiously because it's a little bit standard R&B for me. I don't hear anything that stops me in my tracks.
Right.
But that does, you know, it's just one song and it's an interesting listen, and I'm being very diplomatic right now.
Isn't,
you know, I remember when a couple of months ago on this podcast we were talking about the Jessie Ware song.
Right.
And I was like, wow, this like froze me, and I like had to stop surfing the internet to like.
Which song was that, Jesse?
It's awesome that I forget the name of it.
So much.
I'm gonna find it. But you know, I'm horrible. I want to point out, I still listen to that song a lot. It's just
say awesome. You love me.
Yeah.
Tough love.
No, it was say you love me. Yeah, it was say you love me.
That's actually the song that that Joe doesn't.
Yeah, that was
like.
The song I didn't.
Yeah,
like,
and so. We were like, Joe.
And I almost shanked him outside.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
But that was the kind of song that I was like, wow, I have to, you know, stop what I'm doing and listen to this. This was like, you know, it kind of lilted along and, you know, had some good vocal runs. And I liked, like, it had a declarative ending. But I, you know.
I respect your opinion.
Yeah, well, I appreciate
you're allowed
that.
To have that opinion. But let's, yeah, so we.
Let's move on.
Let's move on. Let's chat. I'm not going to be diplomatic about this one, by the way. Let's talk about Imagine Dragons' new song, I Bet My Life. Before we get to talking about it, though, let's take a listen to it.
I know I took the path that you would never want for me. I gave you hell through all the years. So
right, that was the new Imagine Dragons songs, I Bet My Life. Before I toss up to Jason, I just wanted to say, and I'm sure you're going to touch on this,
cool.
But, you know, obviously this song has a strong Mumford vibe, and it
got
just seems so such, like, gross trend hopping from them, especially given that they're following a trend that One Direction has already done. Like,
yeah.
If a boy band mined this trend on their last album, like, now you're gonna do this on your second, like, it's just
shots fired.
Not a newcomer rock band, but for a rock band that's still relatively new, they should be trying to find their voice and, like, demonstrate what they can do. And they're, you know, I'm not a huge fan of their first album, but it was a distinct sound. And then this is just, you know, it's Mumford Redux, I guess.
Yeah. This kind of reminds me when a couple years ago, Kings of Leon blew up with You Somebody and Sex on Fire, and then they put out their follow-up album. It was called Come Around Sundown in 2010, and the first single was called Radioactive, and it was exactly like very like folky, and like it was, oh god, the one of the, if you ever want to look up a horrible music video, watch the Kings of Leon Radioactive music video. It's literally them, like the four dudes in Kings of Leon, going to Africa and like playing with little African children, like playing soccer and like, you know, like going on like hikes with them. And it's just like the most like dumb, it's just a dumb video.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, look at us, we're giving back, but like not really, but we're just playing soccer and culture. And anyway, so I mean, this does not have a bad music video, but it does kind of remind me of like that was, I compared to that song because it was kind of like this populist move of like, yeah, we had a really surprising hit album, not really sure what to do next, let's just kind of make this like fun sing-along anthem,
right,
of everyone like holding hands. And you know, I don't hate this song. It is kind of like a cop-out a little bit, but I don't hate it. I think it's kind of a fun cop-out. It has like as big of a chorus as something like Radioactive,
mm-hmm,
and it's just kind of dumb fun to me. Like I'm not mad at this song. It seems like you are.
I don't know why I'm so. I'm just annoyed with it. It irked me.
He went from like happy Joe to like angry.
I know, angry Joe. I just like, I don't really. I mean, you say that like their last album had like a distinct sound. But, like, to me, it was just, like, a bunch of, like, stuff thrown at a wall. Like, Radioactive was just, like, this weird, like, electronic rock cloud of yelling.
I can see the thrown at a wall, but it's still, it was, not a lot of other things sounded like that. At least on, the,
yeah,
I guess that, I should
that
say,
is
in
true.
The top 40.
This does sound like a lot of other stuff. I think what gets me on this song and makes me, like, laugh in like, a way that's like, oh, Imagine Dragons, what are you doing, is like when all you hear the backing vocals of like they sound like they're recorded in a barn. I'm just like, yahoo, like,
yeah,
Imagine Dragons, like you know, come on guys. But again, like if I watched this song played live in concert, it'd probably be pretty fun. Like that's kind of how I feel about this song. It's like a really dumb fun song.
What do you think, Erica?
What's sad is that, like, you guys are comparing, like, Mumford & Sons to, like, Imagine Dragons, and the sad thing is I don't listen to any, so they both sound the same to me, even at before this song, so this doesn't help. I'll just say that to differentiate both bands. No, but I felt like, okay, also, being very ignorant, I know nothing about these two bands that much, but I felt like Imagine Dragons was a little bit more, like, rock than folk than, like, compared to Mumford & Sons.
Yeah.
So I did, going off that, then I could see, like, them playing off the other band.
Yeah. This is definitely more like a concerted folk effort, but it's also like...
And I think it's an obvious, you know, it's just a bid for a hit, too, which I think is probably the reason that it irks me. It's not like they're trying... It's not like they're flirting with folk. It's that they're specifically trying to do a Mumford song, which we know has worked for other artists, you know, on the charts.
What's funny about...
But didn't their song with, like, when that they added Kendrick onto Do Good
that was
on its
radioactive.
Own? Yeah, like, so... That doesn't sound like this.
No.
I'm saying, like, if you found, like, success in that single, then I guess they're trying to, play with someone else's sound.
It's tough because it's, like, what's interesting about Imagine Dragons to me is that, like, they're probably, like, in the last 5 years, like, how many, like actual rock bands have broken out, basically? Like, you could count on one hand, and they're definitely one of them. And... This is like a big, like, this is a big moment for them because you could, like, they've become, like, de facto, like, not festival headliners, but they're on, like, the top of festival bills now based on, like, their three hit singles. And now, how are they going to follow it up? I mean, obviously, you look at a band like Foster the People earlier this year, they just had no idea how to follow up Pumped Up Kicks in a meaningful way. So it'll be interesting to see what this album does. I'm guessing it comes early next year, but, like, yeah, this is, I don't know. This is like their Sex on Fire to me. Like, it's just a dumb, fun, big rock song.
Well, it will, you're right. It'll be interesting to see what they do for this upcoming album. Because you're right, they've kind of fallen into a place where they're one of the few breakout rock bands on the planet, really. But let's move on to another rock band that's been around forever. I think this band is older than any of us in the room. Flaming Lips recently delivered a start-to-finish cover of the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's album. It is called With a Little Help from My Fwens. Very, just, you know, quirky on their part, I guess. But so the track I wanted to highlight is their version of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, which features Miley Cyrus and Moby. So let's give that a listen now. That was the Flaming Lips, Miley Cyrus, and Moby doing Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. So I have to say, overall, this is, especially if you're a Beatles or a Lips fan, which, you know, 10 million people are, like, this album is worth checking out. And if you buy it, the proceeds go to a pet charity of some sort, some thing for cats and dogs.
Hate
I don't
this
know.
Album, don't you?
Yeah, I have no
idea. I have to say, this cover, I legit think this cover stands on its own. Like, I think Miley Cyrus is just perfectly cast in the role of singing this song, because the original was John Lennon basing kind of a druggy ode on a picture that his son Julian drew. So, and to me, this is just perfect for Miley Cyrus. She sings, and even though you know she's interested and exploring this, you know, like, party drug-induced side of life, she still has this real innocence in her voice and kind of like a childlike sense of wonder. And that's what the original song is all about, and that's what she conveys with this cover. And I think it's just so strange for as many people that have covered the Beatles over the years that one of the few people who really seems to get the source material, in this case, is Miley Cyrus. Like, I think most critics would not have expected that. And the song itself is cool. Like, the chorus comes in, it sounds like a subwoofer just exploded. Like, it really grabs your attention. It's different. I think, you know, obviously it's not going to replace the original, but I think it's really cool.
Yeah, you lost me with this one, man. I'm sorry. Just like the idea of the Flaming Lips featuring Miley Cyrus and Moby covering Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, it doesn't appeal to me at all. Like, and I'm not like the biggest Beatles guy. I mean, you know, they're obviously the Beatles, they're the greatest of all time, but it's, you know, I don't get this. I would say out of every five Flaming Lips projects, I will pay attention to one of them, and the other four I'll be like, they're making like candles in the shape of skulls right. now, or they're putting together like this wacky like covers thing. Like I just it's exhausting. And you know what? It's cool that like I think it's awesome that Miley Cyrus is basically doing what Kesha wants to do and is working with people like the Flaming Lips and Moby and like just kind of exploring and tinkering around like before Bangers 2 or whatever comes out. But I can't get behind this at all. Like,
so you get no pleasure.
And
out
I
of listening.
No, I listened to this song when it came out, and I was just like, yeah, I get no pleasure out of this. It's just like, why? It's an interesting reimagining, but I don't think it's successful whatsoever. And I'm sorry, man. You just went to bat for it, but it's just. It's just like a mess. I mean, there were like a couple months ago. Do you remember when Flaming Lips and Miley Cyrus like put out like a short film that was like super creepy?
Yes.
And
I watched it.
Yeah. And I watched it. And I was just like, all right, cool. Like, I'm glad they're making this, but I have absolutely no interest in watching this ever again.
I agree with you on a lot of that. I would say whenever I hear the, you know, like, USB is in a chocolate egg and it has new music or like,
yeah, like
the movie
like
it's I think it's great that they're doing that stuff. I just there's so much else going on in the world and you know in anyone's life that I just don't have time for it all. But specifically when it comes to the music, I do care what the Flaming Lips are doing. And I mean, that being said, they've done cover albums of the Stone Roses debut, of King Crimson's debut. And I have not listened to either of those start to finish yet. So I guess this really is just – part of me agrees. Like part of me is like, yeah, I will only tune in for, you know, maybe one out of every three wacky project that they do. But for me as someone who really like deep – you know, like the Beatles were my introduction to why I love music.
Yeah.
And I've liked the Flaming Lips for, you know, an extremely long time as well. So coming from that perspective, I think it's just really cool to hear someone as – incredible as them like deconstructing the album.
Yeah.
And you're right, you know, it's not always pleasant. Like there are some songs that are kind of just like oof. Like there's one, I mean, For the Benefit of Mr. Kite is kind of a dated song to begin with, and you know, Tool's James Maynard Keenan, he does his best, but the whole thing just comes across as kind of a slog. That being said, I totally think this one is a fascinating song, but you know.
There you go, man. Listen, I'm glad you get some enjoyment out of it. I sadly it's beyond me. It's beyond my grasp.
Jason and Erica, thank you so much for coming by.
Anytime.
You know, even if we don't always agree, but you know what? We always
no matter
something else.
What love
our
or hate.
Differences, our friendship and jobs bring us together
every week.
Every week.
Thanks, Joe.
All right. Thanks, guys. All right. And everyone else out there, have a good Halloween. And we promise there will be a seasonally themed podcast at some point before the end of this millennium. All right. Thanks.